Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 through 23, which begins in our church Bibles on page 223. Please stand if you are able as we read from the Old Testament. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also, pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "Is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Please be seated.
Media outlets reveal about humanity. One of those is shared experiences. We love to share our experiences. We love to do it through those social media outlets. And on some level, though, thankfully, gone are the days when you get trapped at someone's house flipping through hundreds of photos of a vacation on which you did not get to go. You can check them out or not on your own, sliding through their electronic album. It makes it really nice, right? Then comes Instagram. People graciously refrain, usually, from uploading a pile of photos, but rather they pick the best, right? Or one, and they post that saying, this is where I was today, or this is what happened, or look at what happened for me today. But no matter what venue we personally prefer or personally choose, we all have to agree that mere pictures don't really do justice to the fun that we're having, or to the way that that sunset actually looked, or how red that moon actually was. Our Scotland team arrived home on Monday night, and we want to thank the congregation for their support and their prayers while we were gone. It was a wonderful project. But the scenery when we were over there, as we drove from one location to another or from one school to another to do our presentations, was just beautiful. Eventually, one of our team members said this, I've just stopped taking pictures. Everything is so beautiful, and the pictures can't really capture it. I just want to take it all in. That sentiment is so true, is it not? And it's something that we're going to see over and over as we look at this text today, Ruth chapter 2. So if you go ahead and open up your Bibles or your bulletins there, and you'll see this text. It'll help as we go through it. But one thing that we're going to see over and over is this. A picture is worth a thousand words, but it is nothing like experiencing it firsthand. A picture is worth a thousand words, but it's nothing like experiencing it firsthand. So let's look first off at the physical picture. And we're going to quickly go through this chapter, and we're going to look at the physical picture that it gives us. And we're going to look at each of these characters and the way that they respond and their interactions. But we aren't going to stop by merely checking out their character. Because if we stop with just the character, then we miss a much greater story. So let's look first off, verses 1 to 3. Fields of gold. From the first lines of this chapter, it's established in the reader's mind that Naomi and Boaz are relatives, that they were both in the same clan or tribe. Now, let me stop here for a moment. All throughout this book, the storyteller is frugal with his words. We are often left wondering and asking questions about what happened next or what else was said. So we see as we read through this that each word is weighed and is very important, so nothing is lost. Each word is purposeful and valuable. So we see here in verse 2 a reminder that Ruth is an outsider, a Moabite. She has made the profound statement of commitment to her mother-in-law in chapter 1, and she is here not just talking the talk, but she is actually showing that commitment. She goes out to glean alone as an outsider, putting herself in great danger so that she and her mother-in-law could have food. Because she knows that if she does not go out, surely they will die. Naomi is caught in a downward spiral of depression and inactivity. So Ruth must act. So she sets out to be a part, look down at the text, of this welfare-to-work program. We see this set up in Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy 24, where the poor were not simply left to rely on handouts, but they were allowed to glean from fields after the harvesters. They would glean around the edges of the field and pick up what was left behind. Further, farmers were required to leave, actually, the edges of their field unharvested so that there would be a better chance for the poor to survive. So Ruth sets out not looking for or even knowing of Boaz at this point, but hoping that she would end up in a field in which she would find favor. You see that word favor? It's literally the word grace, that she would find grace. And in verse 3, you see it highlighted, and Steve talked about it last week, that she just happened, this is a little tongue-in-cheek comment from the author, she just happened to come to the field of Boaz, who was the clan of Elimelech, again reminding us of their clan and familial relation. But it's in these fields of gold that we see this encounter, secondly, verses 4 to 16. Look at verse 4. Guess who just happened to show up? And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Now remember, this is a very, very happy time. There had been some 10 years since there was an actual harvest. And now, here they are actually harvesting. But this greeting here is not a cliche. It's not just a line that he's using. Very often in the Bible, a person's first words say something significant, something very important about that person, and it's no different here. You see, Boaz doesn't see a difference between the secular and the sacred. There is no separation, and there's no separation throughout the scriptures for the believer. There is no at work Boaz and at the congregation for worship Boaz. He's the same person. He honors the Lord here to his workers, and his workers respect him for it. Then something catches his eye, and he speaks to his foreman. Look at verses 5 to 7. Then Boaz said to his young man, that's the foreman who was in charge of the reapers, and he answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. You see, he answers Boaz's question here, but he goes beyond to note her character and how hard she has worked. He's giving Boaz extra information. And notice in verse 7, her humility. She didn't have to ask if she could glean. It was her privilege to be able to do so. It was required by law for the farmers to do that. So she didn't have to ask, yet in humility she says, "Could I please glean?" Boaz had heard all about this woman abandoning her people for Naomi's sake, and now here he puts a story and a face together, and he sees her hard at work in this field. And in spite of racial and social barriers between the two, Boaz, listen to this, talks to her as a person, and in fact elevates her standing. We cannot miss this. And he offers her provision, you see, food and water, so that way she could actually eat and then come to their water tanks and drink rather than having to go to a well and draw, taking time away from her workday. He offers her provision, and then he offers her protection. He says that she should be treated as one of his own, an outsider invited in. We'll talk more about this a little bit later. See, Boaz here regarded the welfare of another person as more important than the accumulation of his own wealth. Look down at verses 15 to 16. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And pull out some from the bundles for her to leave for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." You see, he is giving out of his wealth to this person in need. Then look down at verse 21. And Ruth, the Moabite, said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished the harvest.'" He gives her not just an abundance of food, but gives her work for weeks, several weeks here. But look at the humility of Ruth in verse 10. She literally says this, "Why have you noticed me, a person to be unnoticed?" She recognizes her standing, where she is in this culture. And Boaz responds here that he's heard her story. And in verse 12, look at it, he offers a prayer. "The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Little did he know that he would be the answer to his own prayer. Then look at verse 13. Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." See that word favor again? I have found favor. It's that word grace. The very thing for which she said she was looking at the beginning of this chapter. Then look at that word comfort. That word comfort is actually changing a person's external circumstances. Then that phrase, "you've spoken kindly to me," "you have spoken to my heart," is what she's saying. Do you see what's going on here? This is not just a man trying to work an angle on a young lady. This is a man treating another person with the grace that he has personally received. So she goes back out to work, and then at lunch he invites her to eat with him, again confirming the fact that he is going to provide for her and protect her. It's a great act of hospitality on his part. Further, he serves her. You see what the text says? He doesn't let somebody else do it. He serves her and gives her extra food for her mother-in-law. It's beautiful. This is the first time that she has been full, her stomach has been full, in a long time. And here she is feasting until she is satisfied. So she goes back out to work, look down at the text, and does more work. And we see here, over and over, the pictures of this great humility on the part of Ruth, her hard work, and great grace on the part of Boaz. He is showing this word, hesed. You heard that before? It's loving kindness or covenant faithfulness. His heart has been touched by the hesed of God, and it's the way that he lived and he treated others. He could not do it in any other way because he had been filled up with this, and it overflowed out of his life. But look here, we are in the days of the judges in this time, in this story. And remember what that was? Remember that? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You see, there's plenty of loopholes for Boaz here. He could have used any number of these to absolve himself from any legal responsibility here in this story, but he does not. He is not concerned with the obligations of the law. He acts in ways that go far beyond duty and obligation. We cannot miss that. And then we see a softened heart, a picture of a softened heart, verses 17 to 23. Look at verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. This is about 30 to 50 pounds. The ration of a male worker for a day would have been 1 to 2 pounds. So Ruth here collects the equivalent of a half of a month wages in one day, gathering enough food to feed her and Naomi for several weeks in one day. So here we find Naomi facing this mound of food that Ruth has brought home for them to eat, and then food for her to eat right now. It was a very practical evidence of God's goodness to her. And after Ruth asked, or after Naomi asked Ruth some questions, we see Naomi's heart start to change slightly. Remember from chapter 1? Naomi is bitter, right? She is a bitter woman. And we see this bitterness start to soften. Verse 20, look at verse 20. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." That word kindness, hesed. You see this? She is making a confession, recognizing, whoa, maybe I was wrong in chapter 1. God has not left me. He is starting to show himself here, and he is showing his kindness, his covenant faithfulness to her. All of a sudden, Naomi starts to see that the Lord is not out to get her as though she thought in chapter 1. He is willing and able to smile upon her, even though she was shaking her fist in his face. Then look at the word living here. See that? It's actually plural, meaning both Naomi and Ruth. So for the first time here, Ruth is included in the family of Naomi, this family to whom the Lord will show his covenant faithfulness. Naomi's been trying to get rid of Ruth all of this time because of the reminders of what Naomi did. Ruth was reminding her all these things. Every time she saw Ruth, she remembered, I left for Moab. And now, in this moment where she experiences God's grace, she actually includes Ruth, saying, "You are a part of my family." Beautiful picture, right? A picture is worth 1,000 words, though, but it's nothing like experiencing it firsthand. So let's go a little bit deeper. And secondly, we want to look at this, the redemptive pictures. The redemptive pictures. Wait, redemptive pictures, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. You see, the Bible is a story. It's God's story of redemption. That is, God saving his people and rescuing his people from sin and evil. And this redemptive thread is all throughout this real-life, true book that we call the Bible. In some places, it's more obvious than others. Well, let's just look at this text here. Do you see Boaz's greeting here in verse 4? Look at it. "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered, 'The Lord bless you.'" Now, we mentioned that before, that it's not just a flippant greeting. But I didn't fully mention the redemptive picture. This phrase was tied to the benediction that they would give at the end of congregational worship. You can see this in Numbers chapter 6. And here's the thread. Catch this. "The Lord be with you" is Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah 7:14 says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." Let's follow that thread to Matthew 1:23. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Matthew 28, "I am with you even to the end of the age." And then in the book of Revelation, when the new Jerusalem descends, there is Jesus, the Savior, to be with his people now and forevermore. This is not a mere greeting. This is a picture of redemption that would come through Jesus Christ. Do we see this redemptive thread anywhere else in this chapter? Yes, but I just want to focus on one of them. Look at verses 10 to 13. "Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?' But Boaz answered her, 'All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, how you left your father and mother and your native land, and you came to a people you didn't know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge.'" This is a picture of coming to God in faith for salvation. This is not a stretch. Check this out. At first reading, we may think that Ruth is being blessed because of the actions of good deeds, good works that she has shown Naomi, as if God is her employer and she's getting paid for the job that she has done. But verse 12 clears that up for us. Boaz says that God is the one rewarding Ruth. Boaz is only the instrument that God is using to reward her. Further, the reason that she is being rewarded is not because of how she has treated Naomi, but catch this, because she has sought refuge under God's wings. That is why she is being blessed, not because of what she has done. It's a common teaching in the Old Testament, Psalm 57:1. "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. My soul takes refuge in you. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge." Notice the word "for." "Be merciful, for in you my soul takes refuge." She has counted God's protection far greater than all others, than her family, than her homeland, God's protection. Her heart is set on God for hope and joy and rest and peace. This is a picture of salvation. The one with no standing comes to the one with standing, setting aside all other salvation strategies to find true refuge in God. May I expand on this just slightly for a moment? Look at God's timing here. The beginning of the book of Ruth have Ruth and Naomi arriving in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. You see this? They came home, that is Bethlehem, at the time of the feast of Passover. That's when the grain harvest began. We have an exodus. Notice the words that I'm dropping. We have an exodus from the fields of Moab to the promised land. Further, by the end of chapter 2, 7 weeks had passed, and it was time for the festival of first fruits. One commentator said that in a profound sense, Ruth is the first fruits. He goes on to remind us that the first fruits was a part of Pentecost, the greatest harvest festival of all time. Pentecost was the day that God chose to pour out his Spirit on Jews and Gentiles alike, making them one people in Jesus Christ. So here, Ruth coming into the family of God's people by faith is a foreshadowing of the greater harvest that would include both Jews and Gentiles alike. Do you see this? This God's timing is not an accident. This stuff doesn't accidentally happen. A picture is worth a thousand words, but it's nothing like experiencing it firsthand. You see, it's great for us to have this physical picture and wonderful for us to look at the redemptive thread, the redemptive pictures. But this passage is calling each of us to a firsthand experience. It's calling us to faith and action. And we'll conclude with this. The call here is for each of us that we wouldn't just look at the pictures, but that we would dive in and be able to experience all of this for ourselves firsthand. That it wouldn't just be a story of Naomi and Ruth and Boaz, but it would be our story as well, personally. And that story begins with humility like that of Ruth's, recognizing who we are in and of ourselves, unworthy and without hope, sinners in need of a Redeemer. We sing this hymn, Rock of Ages, and it says this: Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Charles Spurgeon called Jesus our glorious Boaz. You can see the great similarities as we go through this book. Only Jesus is way better than Boaz. So today, no matter where we are, the call for us is to not just stop with the pictures, but to experience this firsthand. To come to Jesus in faith, have a firsthand experience of this hesed, God's covenant loving kindness, that we would come to him and find our refuge under his wings. And this is what's cool. As we take our refuge under his wings, it gives us the freedom and enables us to leave those things in which we found refuge before and to give ourselves in love to others. This is the firsthand experience of action. Further, Ruth, the outsider, was made to feel welcome to come in. She now, through Boaz, was made to feel like there might be a place for her among the followers of God. Do we welcome outsiders like Ruth? We look over our neighborhoods, our workplace, our schools, our community, and completely overlook those that are outcast. The immigrants, the strangers, the homeless, the poor, the needy, the foreigners. But we must be reminded, as Ephesians 2 says, we were strangers to the covenant of promise. You see this? Having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, we who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 18, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And it's from that platform that we have been brought near, that we can stand, and underneath those wings that we can risk our lives and risk everything to say, come near you as well. Come and find this hesed. So may this be true for each of us here at Stony Point, that we have the firsthand experience of moment by moment, daily, finding ourselves underneath the refuge. And from that platform, we are a people that give of ourselves. So that maybe we could find people that are brought in and they find themselves with a family that they have never known before. A picture is worth a thousand words, but it's nothing like experiencing it firsthand. May we not be merely satisfied by looking at the photo album of what other people are doing. Let's get in the mix of what God is doing in this world. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your kindness to us, your loving kindness, this hesed, this grace, this mercy. We need it. So we thank you that you are a God that gives freely and abundantly. But God, we ask that you would help us today as we experience that we would be a people that pour it out on others and draw others to you through those actions. God, we praise you, for you alone are worthy, and we thank you for the beautiful pictures of faith and redemption that we have here in this story. In Jesus' name, amen.